host back on the Boss Man Show, friend of the show, Tennessee House Democrat, Vince Dixie, my man in Nashville, my rep, 54, the best district in the state of Tennessee, helping people out in Tennessee, making it better for them. Vincent, my man, Sweetie and Booty. What's up, bro? How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Summer in the ATL, Vincent, has been looking great, man, so far.
He says look good so far?
Yeah, summer looking good. Not too hot, not too humid. So I'm loving it right now.
Well, it's not good. In Nashville, the heat index is going to be 109 today. So I can't say the same.
Wow.
No, it's going to be 96 with a heat index of 109. So I'm going to try to stay inside. And as soon as I can, I'm going to take this tie off.
I hear that. Well, Vince, you have a big fundraiser coming up for your birthday, man, at the Bedford. Tell us about that, man.
So, well, what is, I'm going to have my campaign, political campaign fundraiser. And so my birthday is actually the 20th. So, and someone was like, well, why don't you just do a birthday slash fundraiser? So we're going to have some fun, have some food, have some drinks, have a cigar bar, have a nice band, got a DJ. So come party with me, hang out with me, and help raise some money, keep me in my seat, so that I can continue doing the work that we need to do. But sometimes just a way to blow off some steam and just have fun. Let people know that, man, I'm just a regular person, just like everybody else. And, you know, I just want to hang out with my friends and my constituents and make new friends and just let people know, man, I'm out here for them, trying to and talk to them. And I'm touchable, that I'm not untouchable, that you have to make an appointment to talk with me. You can just catch me where you can. Catch me at Kroger's, catch me at Exxon, catch me at the Shell, wherever it is, just talk.
Yes, like I said before, people, you can see him around. Like, he'll be around, board on his district. He's raising around district. He's very accessible. He's not one of them guys like, nah, he's that dude for real. Trust and believe. That's Mr. Dixie. He'll take care of you, and you should vote for him in our district. Seriously.
If you don't vote for him, because I said so. No,
he's helping the people, man. He's doing things for us out here in Tennessee, man. So, also, went down to Chattanooga, man. I saw the pictures on Instagram. Tell us about that trip down there, man. How fun was it getting in Hamilton County, get down with those that people down there and engage them as well?
So one of the things that I've been doing, we have a new Tennessee Democratic Party chair. His name is Hendrell Remus. And Hendrell is working really hard to kind of bring the party together. And what Hendrell and my counterpart in the Senate, her name is Senator Ramesh Ekberry, we three have decided that we're going to work together to make sure that Tennessee Democrats have a singular message that we all sing from, right? The problem is that as Democrats, we have all these causes because we're the big tent, and people don't know what do you really stand for. So we want to make sure that we work together. This is something that hasn't been done in a very long time. Just the communication between the party and the caucuses, showing people that, you know, we are united, and we have to all be united in order to change that. Tennessee, we all want to change, turn it back blue. At least for the meantime, let's turn it purple. And no, I love purple, but you know, for different reasons. But
throw off your sign.
You know, so but we can start with purple first, then we can get to blue. You know, so we'll get it done. And so I appreciate them working with me, and because we try to have a consistent message. It's about, you know, economics, man. It's about education. It's about healthcare. But we got to make sure, we got to break it down. And like, do you have enough money to pay your bills? Do you have enough money to keep food and buy food to put on your table? And if you get sick, can you go see a doctor? Those are the three things. And then, of course, the overarching thing is we definitely got to get medical and recreational marijuana passed here. It's way beyond that. Time for that.
Oh, yes. And I'll say expanding Medicaid to expanding 10 care.
So we've learned that we cannot use that term expand Medicaid here in Tennessee.
Okay.
It just doesn't work. It doesn't matter. That's why you have to simply just make it as simple as possible. If you get sick, can you go see a doctor? Now you think about it. And think about it. It's not really, expanding Medicaid is not necessarily about healthcare. Healthcare is a byproduct. Stick with me here. I'm a numbers guy, and I'm bringing it back home for you in a sec. So you think about it. If you expand Medicare and Medicaid, it's really going to impact the rural areas mainly, right? Because especially that's been exacerbated by this pandemic. A lot of them lost their jobs. They don't have any insurance, right? But at least this would provide them some coverage. And even people who are underinsured they don't realize that they don't have adequate insurance. So they're just like, oh, I got insurance until that bill hits. And they were like, oh, I really guess I didn't. So that's why we can't say expand Medicaid. We just got to say, if you get sick, can you go see a doctor? Now, imagine if, you know, we expanded Medicaid, you get, you know, what, almost $1.7 billion flowing into the state on an annual basis. That's going to get hospitals back open. That's going to get jobs back in those hospitals. And when you do that, that's going to bring the kids from those smaller counties. They're going to come back home to work because now they have a place that they can live, they're proud of, that's growing, that's thriving. So that, and then that hospital becomes a, helps increase your property tax base. And when you increase your property tax base, you can have the services that you want. You can have better schools, you can have more fire, more policemen, you can pay teachers more, but it all comes down to just expand Medicaid. But what it does is it's really an economic issue, because think of that hospital is an economic driver for those areas. And think about it, now if they don't have jobs in those areas, these are great jobs. These are not just jobs, these are careers that people can have. You can attract talent back to these, to your town, because they don't have the doctors anymore. They don't have nurses because they come to the big city. So I think that's one of the things that we have to work on, you know, work on that. And how do we frame that so that it resonates and people stop electing people that's literally killing them?
Yes, because like you said, like McKenzie, that's the one that got closed up there, you know, Northwest Tennessee, Dyersburg, Martin up that way. So you're like, you either got to go over the line of Kentucky, you go to Jackson, or go to Memphis to get taken care of. And in that time, you can die if it's something serious, like a heart attack or a blood clot aneurysm. You can die if you can't get somewhere within 15 or 20 minutes of your home.
Yeah. If you have a stroke, you know, everybody know that having a stroke is time sensitive. And there's a time period that if you can get to a hospital in a certain amount of time, that the effects are reversible. But after that, they aren't. So it's all about the proximity of a hospital as well. And you think about in these rural areas, it may be something that's, let's say it's 20, 30 miles away, which is not close, but not far. But you have to realize the terrain you got to go through. So it's not a straight 30 miles. You got to go around winding roads. So that 30 miles may take you an hour and 15 minutes to get there. So, you know, we have to, you know, Democrats are for the average working common person. That's, most of us are in the middle. We've let the people on the far right and the far left scream so loud that they're drowning out the people in the middle, and we're getting forgot about. And so we just got to make sure, just get back to common sense stuff, man. Can you pay your bills? Can you put food on your table? And if you get sick, can you go see a doctor? That's it.
Most definitely. And Vincent,
look, throw in a little marijuana in there.
Yeah, most definitely. That's money right there. That's money right there for sure. Now, Vincent, look at this, man. Like, I see the governor talking about, you know, he cut the money from the federal government there, but he's going to do a tourism commercial, you know, spend $11,000 on promoters for that. But you don't want to give people in your state money to help them survive, have food put on their tables, get some health care, you know? So, like, the priorities of the Tennessee GOP, Vincent, in my mind, are not for the people. They're for big business only and tax breaks and helping themselves enrich themselves. And I'm like, the people in Tennessee are suffering. And I hate when I read a story on the Tennessee Holler or the Tennessean or see you tweet something or somebody tweet something. I'm like, seriously? It makes me sick when it's in my stomach, man. I want to help you all so bad and get the word out, because we need to change this for you guys up there, man. Because Tennessee deserves better, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, if you always see how I end my text or tweets or anything, it's always leadership matters. Because who's in charge matters. Our governor he's very short. And I can't just say the governor. It's the governor and the Speaker of the House. They're very short-sighted in seeing what happens here. For the governor, I don't know who's advising him, but for the governor to take away the $300 for people, for the unemployment for this time, saying that there are jobs in Tennessee, there are jobs in Tennessee. There are jobs in Nashville, in the big cities. They're not jobs in McEwen, Tennessee, or in Obion County, Ray County. Those jobs have left and never coming back. So when you hear in Tennessee, and you're in Nashville, and he's like, okay, well, we're going to cut the unemployment. Well, here in Nashville, you might can go get a second job, right, and be okay. But if you live in one of those counties in Sevier County, Cook County, Cott County, however it's pronounced, Washington County, think about it. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? You're going to move to Nashville for a $15 an hour job, and you still can't afford to live in Nashville? So I'm just saying, people have to wake up. You got to start voting for your own interests, right? But people, what the problem is, people are getting caught up in these culture wars, you know, this CRT and transgender stuff. Those things, they're very important, very important. But we got to make sure we take care of the bread and butter bills, and we also can all work together to make life better for everyone. That's the goal. And the governor has a very lack of understanding of how government works and what government is supposed to do and the role government is supposed to play in people's lives. We're not supposed to be overreaching, is what they're doing all the time. No, they're upset about requiring masks in schools this year. That's government overreach, right? So now you have Democrats fighting for smaller government and local control. It's weird, you know, yes. But the problem is that's what we've always been about as Democrats. But that narrative was taken away from us because they had a better marketing plan. They had a better messaging plan. We're all over the place. We have to be more streamlined. I believe in the people in Tennessee, and I think that they want better. And they, as you said earlier, they deserve better. They deserve leadership that's actually going to make their lives better and not looking at down the road because I want to become the next president. I'm down at the border because I want to be the next president. I'm doing things around the state to show I'm tough because I want to be the next governor, you know, things of that nature. My goal right now, I don't want to be anything but a state representative. Now that I'm the chairman of the Democratic House Caucus, that's my job, to be the best chairman. And to be the best chairman that I have to do, to be, my goal is to, not my goal, my job is to protect my incumbents and, plain and simple, put more butts in seats. I need to get more Democrats elected. And how are we going to do that? I'm going to do that by fundraising, getting the message out, going back to what you said. That's why you're going to see me in Hamilton County. You're going to see me in Shelby County. You're going to see me in Knox County and everywhere in between, because we have to do this as a state. For some reason, as Democrats, we think that politics only happen in Nashville. They happen all across this state, and we got to get everybody involved. When we were down there in Hamilton County, and then I was in Shelby County on the 31st of July, people are excited, man. They're ready. They're ready to go. You know, I hate to use the Obama term, you know, people are fired up and ready to go because they're ready for something different, and they know that we deserve better as Tennesseans. Long-winded answer.
Exactly. No, you're good, Vincent. You're good, man. And like, let's just look at Shelby County. The Memphis Bridge just reopened. That's infrastructure. You know, all that money that we could be using towards infrastructure will allow the Memphis Bridge to be down, causing all that strain on the other bridge that's older, right? So Bill Lee's not worrying, and GFP not worrying about the big picture in Tennessee infrastructure. Like, even going to Atlanta from Nashville, like, let's look. Vincent, you probably remember this, but those rest areas were closed for a long time. Like, that's not good. Like, you're driving hours by rest areas to stop. And, you know, the bridges over the Tennessee River, this isn't in the best condition, to be honest with you. Cost of going to Atlanta. So, like, there are things infrastructure-wise in Tennessee that need to be addressed that are not. Or going to Memphis, that I-40 project's been going on for years, not completing due to Jackson.
I'm so happy that this infrastructure bill passed. Right. Yes. Now Tennessee has no choice but to address some of those issues. And here in Nashville and across the state, we have an issue with these old pipes. We have a lot of pipes that's bursting, especially around downtown. You know, you see nice, shiny new buildings, but what we haven't replaced is the infrastructure, the pipes, the sewer, you know, all those type of things. And so those things are old. Those are over 100 years old. So this money could help that. And guess what that does? Brings jobs.
Yes.
You know, and we got to make sure that money flows down to the average person. That's my job, to make sure we don't need any more billionaires because of this. We need to make more middle-class families. That should be the goal.
Yes, most definitely. And like you said, because Tennessee, a lot of jobs in Tennessee are bottom basement minimum wage jobs. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, but people that can't take care of people's family, you're still on the poverty line. You still have to get Medicaid and food stamps. So mm-hmm. if you get too much money, you can't even get that. So it's like, mm-hmm. it's like a catch 22. What do you do? You know, mm-hmm. So it's like, well, Tennessee needs to attract jobs, $15 an hour at minimum, and hire. So people can actually have a living wage and have jobs based on what town you're in. Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga, Knoxville, Jackson will be much more than somewhere in up in Martin or Dyersburg or Johnson City or wherever, Roan County. So like, jobs have to kind of, the state needs to kind of look at this, Vincent. I know you all understand it, but make the jobs to where the people live at, cost living wise. Because if you don't, you still have to stop, won't survive.
Yeah, well, imagine if everybody had a job, they had one job that, let's say they had a career, because like sometimes jobs can be misleading. And to go back to what you're saying is, we do have jobs here, but we have some jobs that people just aren't qualified for. So we have a workforce development problem. We got to make sure we get people that are able to fill these jobs, number one. Number two is that these jobs, if people or families, they only had one job and somebody hadn't worked two and three jobs just to make ends meet, they can spend more time with their family. They can get more time with their kid. They can eat dinner with them, talk about how their day went, help them with their homework. You see how it makes the whole family better if someone has a real good job and that they can make sure, it just makes the community better. You're gonna have better behaving children in school. You're not gonna have people out committing crimes because they gotta get up and go to work in the morning because they don't wanna lose their good paying job, right? They know that this job is allowing them to take care of their family financially, giving them everything that they need. And they have, now they have time to actually be there to raise their children. So it is only fair that we work toward making that happen for every Tennessean. Yeah, giving them that particular, every Tennessean that wants it, that wants to work, this is something that we should be working for.
Most definitely, Vince. That's so important there, man. And let's talk about the schools again. The Tennessee Republicans are threatening to pull funding if this CRT or mass mandates, and like, really? Tennessee's one of the lowest states in the country for education. You want to pull funding on top of it not being one of the best in the nation, and is you're trying to affect people's ability to learn, because if you have education, you can help go vocational route, get you a job in that, go to community college, go to 4-year. So you're hurting people's opportunity to be better themselves down the road. So what are your thoughts on that and what they're doing? I saw one of the Instagram posts that was their game anyway. So tell us more about that, man.
What's interesting is, you know, I see a lot of memes, and one that comes to mind and says, you know, imagine being ashamed of your history, so ashamed of your history that you won't teach it to your kids. And everybody's heard this saying that, you know, if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it. And nobody's saying that, you know, this is what you are now, but this did happen and you can't sweep it under the rug. And this happened, you know, most, you know, a lot of people that were slaves. So, let me back up. Not a lot of people. People that were slaves were kidnapped, brought to another country that they didn't know anyone of, and they were taught a new way of life to be in servitude. That, to understand where somebody's coming from, to know their background, that helps you have a better understanding of that person. Like for me, when you tell me, hey man, I grew up off Trinity Lane, I know that you may have where you come from a little bit, right? So I can identify with you because like, oh man, I grew up but I too far from there. So we can have some kind of identity and we can relate a little bit better. But what I don't know about you, because I grew up in Madison, right? I grew up in a totally different area from you, but we can still be friends because we understand and we can learn from each other. And so I'm a product of a mixed income level school in neighborhood. My best friend, since we've been friends since 9 years old, both his dad was a dentist, his mom was a doctor in education. So they're well-to-do people. He was my best friend, but we went to the same school, right? But because of his influence and he being with me and his parents, you know, knew the value of a dollar, taught both of us the value of a dollar, it was able to help me. And I'll tell you, this is a true story. The only reason that I applied to college, I applied to two colleges, Dillard in New Orleans and Morehouse College, got accepted to both. And the only reason I applied to college was because all my friends did. You know, my mom was, she knew that college was something we wanted to do, but my mom was, you know, she never made over $28,000 a year. She was had her head down buried trying to make sure that we had our needs met, right? In which sometimes we didn't always have them met, but that was her goal. And so we have to make sure that we understand that we influence people around us. And it's our obligation. It's an obligation to me to reach back and help someone. Because someone, I wouldn't be where I am if someone didn't help. Nobody would be where they are if somebody didn't help you. You wouldn't be where you are. Nobody is self-made in this world. Nobody is self-made. Somebody did something along the line to get you where you are. Even if you inherited something, somebody made that sacrifice for you, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure that we get back to, man, just being genuine people, man, just loving each other and making sure we want what's best for you. I want you to succeed so much that it'll because I know your success is going to help me become a better person. You're going to push me as long as I push you, right? And we've gotten turned away somewhere. And when you start looking at this CRT stuff, these culture wars, man, you know, as Democrats, we're going to stay away from those arguments because they draw us into those arguments. We can't win. Because people's feelings get involved. And what I want to do is I want to try to just stick to the facts. You know, we know that what happened, we know slavery was bad. We know what was going on with the Civil War, why it was bad. We know about all this other stuff, but there are some good things that people overcame in those times to make sure we had a lot of inventions that came from there, that from Black people. And it's so, I don't understand why it's such a big deal. And I'm going to tell you, this is really why I don't understand, because it's not even taught in Tennessee schools.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's not taught at all in Tennessee schools, like, and not once. So, but what happens is, because Republicans, they don't have any real meat and potato issues. They're so concerned about holding on to power and how they can make more money for themselves and their friends, instead of actually, like, what am I going to do to help people? Exactly. What am I going to do to make your life better? And that's what we're going to do here. So CRT is something, it's a distraction. That's all it is. It's just a distraction. We don't teach that here in Tennessee. So now that we kind of quelled that, now we have an issue with requiring masks in elementary schools, in schools in Tennessee, which makes no sense to me, makes none to me. Because as a parent, my job is to protect my kids. So you telling me I can send my kids to school and sit next to an unmasked, unvaccinated child that probably has been exposed, especially in this day and age with this Delta variant that runs very rampant and it's spread very quickly. So as a parent, I want to make sure that my child is taken care of, right? And my child is safe. And the government has an obligation to provide a free, healthy, safe environment for my child to learn in. How is that safe? Even if you get, just take it back, even if you get a cold, mm-hmm. People say stay at home, right? Or if you get sick, think about chicken pox. If you get the chicken pox, you stay at home, yes. Right? Because it's so contagious. And, you know, I just don't understand how, you know, kids can adapt. If that's what they have to do in order to get this through, as adults, if we had all just buckled down, did what we're supposed to do, we probably wouldn't be here right now. But the problem is we have made mask wearing a political statement. Yes. And that's ridiculous. And it's almost crazy that you can tell how someone voted depending on their views on wearing a mask. That's ridiculous. Yes. This has nothing to do with this. And then this is the craziest argument that I've heard so far, that the Republicans say, well, the government shouldn't mandate this. They should go talk to their physicians. They should go talk to their doctors and they should consult and do what's best for their family. Every doctor in the United States that's credible has said, wear a mask. So what are you just spinning. You're just spinning this. Mm-hmm. If every doctor has already said, we need to wear a mask to help prevent this particular disease from spreading, why are we going around and around about this? It's because they don't have any meat and potato issues. It's all about control. Here in Tennessee, this mask issue is an end around the judicial system to get vouchers reinstated. I said this 2 weeks ago before all this stuff happened. That's all that they're trying to do. Now you saw what happened in Florida. They're going to take that cue from Florida, say, oh, well, if you don't want to go to a school that's requiring masks, well, you can take them out and then take your money and go somewhere else. But what if we all do what Shelby County did? And that's really why we're having a special session, that in Davidson County, because they always want to pick with us. Shelby County said, their health department said, we require masks for all schools, public or private. So now you take the money where you're going to go. Mm-hmm. Right? You understand? So we got to make sure, you know, and then now, so we'll come, we'll have a special session, they'll make some laws to do some stuff like that. But this is one of those things where people have to stand up and fight for what's right. It's one of those deals. It's just like, if it's right, I don't care what your political views are, you have to do what's right. And if you truly love your children, then you're going to protect them at all costs, not send them into harm's way. And sending my child to school and without a mask, or letting them sit next to a child with no mask, is asinine. Especially now, especially in an elementary school where every kid that's 12, 11 and under can't get vaccinated. So, and then my other flip side, I know I'm giving this long question.
Good. Take your time.
The other part of that is that these kids can't get vaccinated. So what happens when they're exposed to someone in their house, or that someone in their house catches it and they bring it to school and they give it to the teacher and it passes on, or it spreads throughout the school, they start to get it. What do we do then? Since, you know, we can't go to remote learning, can't do any of all this other virtual stuff. So what are we going to do? And you don't want us to close the school down. So what are we going to do? So wouldn't it make more sense to protect everybody on the front end, have some protocols and some more testing when kids come in, and they have some reporting that if someone in their family catches this or has contact, that they let the principal know so we can start to, you know, contact trace and quarantine? There's no appetite for this common sense, these common sense measures.
Most definitely. And Vincent, I'm scared. I have cousins at Hunter's Lane, White's Creek, and Haynes School who I'm worried about because I can't have them around me. I have asthma. You know, and I don't want them to bring me some because they can't get vaccinated or they ain't vaccinated. So I'm like, I'm worried for my family members who are still up in Tennessee, in Nashville, in school right now, because I told them when I come to town, you can't come see me because I don't know who you've been around, what you've been around. I don't want it.
Yeah, well, same thing. My wife, she teaches at an elementary school. So 100% of her kids are not vaccinated, right? Even though she's vaccinated and she probably chooses to wear a mask, and she will wear a mask. But there's an opportunity that she could possibly contact us, right? Because these kids, they aren't vaccinated, they can possibly not be masked. So like you, I have an underlying condition as well. I have diabetes. I know it's hard to believe when you look at this specimen of a body, but I do have diabetes. And so that could be fatal to me. And we take care of our 80-year-old father, right? So that could be, you know, you have opportunity to get something that could literally kill me. You know, and I tell my daughters when they go to school, wear your mask, stay, you know, do what you're supposed to do, social distance, wash your hands, because if you catch something, you could kill them. And, yes. You know, and that's real. And I hate that I have to talk to them in those terms, but they have to understand that the importance of mask wearing, and it's not to protect themselves only, but it's also to protect other people.
Most definitely. And Vincent, the state fired the vaccine chief. You know, she's been on the news. I saw her interviews and they're against vaccine messaging now, the Tennessee GOP. Like, are we serious? You want the kids to get polio, smallpox, all the vaccinations the kids get when they're first born and when they're getting older before they go to school? Like, what is your thoughts about that and how they forced her out because she didn't want to let Bill Lee's political, religious views affect everybody in Tennessee?
Yeah, Dr. Fiskus is a person that did what was right, right? And she wasn't a yes person. She just felt like, I've got to do what's right for the public health, because she let the science lead. She let her medical training lead her conclusions, not her personal feelings. And that's what doctors are supposed to do, right? We trust them to give us the best care and give us the best information, because that's what we know that our lives depend on it. And I find it unnerving that we went to this point. Now we're trying to backtrack. You know, I don't know if you remember, you know, Bill Lee said we shouldn't follow the science. We should leave it up to parents. Most parents don't have medical training. He literally just said that, I'm paraphrasing by using that quote, he said, like, don't follow the science. You know, we listen to parents. Is that the people who have dedicated their lives to studying these particular diseases in science, the immunologists, the epidemiologists, all those that have these specialty fields are telling you, this is not what we're supposed to do. And all of a sudden, their word is not good enough. You're going to listen to your elected official who may be a plumber, or who may be a banker, or who may, you know, be an attorney, but no medical training. So how do we, you know, let's take the politics out of it. And, you know, and did you see the thing about the Williamson County school board meeting that they had? Was it last night or the day before?
Last night.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, why are people so upset about wearing a piece of cloth over your face to protect yourself and others? I think that's selfish. So you can't say that you pro-life when you won't even protect the life, right? So that doesn't make sense. Two and two is not adding up to me. So there has to be an ulterior motive. Like I tell people all the time, I was born at night, but not last night.
Mm-hmm. You
know? There's one thing you do. You can't pee on my head and tell me it's raining.
Got that right. And like you said, Vincent, you can't be pro-life. And, you know, these pastors talking about God got me. How many pastors, people have died who are of the cloth and got COVID and died, or wishing on their deathbed they wish they had the vaccine? Because that's been my pitch to my friends. I'm like, look here, you can get the vaccine or you can get a body bag. Vaccine or the vent, you know, or long COVID. Like, you don't want to put people in danger, because Vince, I had a friend of mine, 36 years old. I'm a little younger than him. He died of COVID here in Atlanta. Going out, thinking it wasn't nothing, caught it, two said he's gone. And this guy played ball with, right? And gone, 36.
You know what? God gave us a lot of things here on earth to use for us, right? He gave us the plants to eat. He gave us animals, depending on where you come from, you know, if you're vegan or not, animals to eat. He gave us a lot of things. He gave us minds to think. He gave us free will, right? He gave us all the opportunities in order for us to enjoy the life that we have now. So for now to say, just God got me and just leave it there, God gave us the ability to have medicines to allow us to live longer. He gave us that. So why wouldn't you use those things that God gave us in order to protect people? You know, and you can't say that you're a Christian, because this is truly a selfish endeavor that they're undertaking. Because the thing in the Bible, what does it say? Am I my brother's keeper?
Yes.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And if I'm going to be my brother's keeper, I have a duty to protect you.
Yes.
And me not wearing a mask is not going to protect you. It's frustrating that people have these views and they feel like that it's infringing on their constitutional rights. But what about my child's constitutional rights not to be exposed to an unvaccinated, unmasked child that could possibly be exposed? Because if the child's not wearing it, you know, the parent's not wearing it, and the parents are probably 10 times more likely to get exposed to something than and bring it home to that child, and that child be a carrier, right? And it could possibly give it to my child, and my child give it to me, you know. So it's just, that's just the most selfish act that I could ever think of in the United States. And it seems like we're going backwards. Instead of coming together, we're just growing apart. And sometimes I get sad when I sit down and think about it, because at the end of the day, most people just want to be safe, earn a good living, take care of their family, and live a good life. But we get caught up in all this other stuff. Is it because that we have so much material stuff that we forget what's important to each other? What is it? What's the common thread here that where we can all use Rodney King, all just get along? You know, yes. Why can't we coexist and just want what's best for each other and have a better Tennessee?
Last one, Vincent, we'll have end on a fun note, man. Friday's going to be for me, this week for me on Friday, Vincent, because Julio's coming back to Atlanta to play the Falcons on Friday night. Sweet, bittersweet. I told him I don't have on my Falcon Julio Jones gear. I won't acknowledge you in that tight number two. Just laughed at me, but Fritzy, you gonna see me if your boy hurt Friday. See my man wearing Titan blue around the Falcons, black like a red on Friday, man.
Hey man, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to him doing what he's supposed to do. And I think the offense is gonna be very explosive. The goal is, like, we gotta make the defense, we gotta stop people. You know, it's always good to outscore people, but you gotta have a few stops. And so I think our defense can do it. I think we can pick up some key people. We just got to stay away from injury and do some things, I think, Julio, I'm gonna call him Mr. Jones, so that's how much I respect him. Mr. Jones and Mr. King, Mr. King, Henry. Those guys, you know, they have the opportunity to do something special here. And I think that we can do it, man. They just gotta make sure that they carry that, have that chip on their shoulder and just play hard, man, and just power through it, man. Because we need it here in Tennessee. We need something good. Sports bring people together, man. So I need them to do something, because that hopefully that'll spark the love and the collaboration that we need in order to make this happen, man.
No doubt. Well, Vince, thank you for your time, as always, man. I'll see some pictures from the game on Friday night, man. I'll tell you, I will be a little hurt seeing what I'm seeing, but I want to enjoy the vibe down there at the stadium on Friday night, man.
Yeah, well, he probably won't play too much anyway, but, you know, he'll get a few snaps, so. Hopefully we get some other guys some chances, but, you know, we'll see how it goes.
It's funny, he'll stay at a hotel, not his own house in Atlanta, because he's with the team, so they'll be here tomorrow night, so I'll go see him. But it's funny that he has to stay in a hotel. He has a house right in the city. He can't stay in his own house. It's funny when I think about that.
Well, man, thank you. And I always appreciate and enjoy talking with you.
All right, Vince, you be safe. I'll see you soon, buddy.
All right, you too.
All right, now.